Good evening, everyone. If you need a Bible, and I sincerely hope that you will read along with us, please put up your hand and one of our welcome team will gladly bring a Bible over to you. Our passage tonight is in the book of 1 John. That's on page 1226. Just as you're turning there, as I did this morning, let me draw your attention to a little book that we've been plugging. It's called How to Walk into Church. It's only £1.50. Trust a Scotsman to mention the price first, eh? But a little short book, easy to read, 60-odd pages. What is happening as we come into a local church like ours? What are we thinking as we come in and sit down and talk to people? Really helpful. It's been helping me to pray these last few weeks about what's happening as I walk here down to church on a Sunday morning. There are 5 copies left, so a whole bunch went this morning. It'd be great if the last 5 could go tonight. It's called How to Walk into Church. Think about buying that. You'll find them on a table on the way in where you arrived. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. This is God's word to us this evening. Should we stay or should we go? Should we stay or should we go? The question that at the moment seems impossible to escape. In case you haven't heard, on Thursday, the 23rd of June, there's going to be a referendum on whether Britain should stay in the EU or whether Britain should go and leave the EU. Both sides are producing lots of material, lots of efforts to try and convince us whether we should stay or whether we should go. Now, of course, I'm not going to tell you what to do. But tonight, as we look at this passage in 1 John, it raises the same question. Should we stay or should we go? And what John is talking about is not the EU referendum. It's about something much, much more significant. It's about staying with Jesus or leaving Jesus behind. Should we stay or should we go? Look at verse 26 of our passage. I am writing these things to you, John says, about those who are trying to lead you astray. John writes to us this evening, warning us that there is a danger of Christians going, of leaving Jesus behind. There's a danger that as Christians, we can be led down a path that says Jesus doesn't need to be my all. That I can move on from Jesus and his cross. That I should go. We must never think that this couldn't happen to us, either as individuals or as a local church. You see, the outcome is massive. If we decide to go, as we'll see, if we think that we need to move on from Jesus and his cross, not only does it show that we're not true believers in the Lord Jesus, if we move on and think we need something else, something more, we can have no assurance, no certainty of eternal life. There is the hope of all believers. Should we stay or should we go? What do you think John says? Stay. Stay. Don't go. Stay. Stick with Jesus. Don't leave him behind. Don't think you need to move on. Stay. And stay knowing these three things. Number one, stay knowing that many will leave. Stay knowing that many will leave. Let me read verse 18 and 19. Look down at it again. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. John starts by telling these dearly loved Christians that this is the last hour. That term, the last hour, is a way that the Bible refers to the time between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. If you like, it is the time of the church, the time that we live in right now. And he says, what will be a big feature of living between the first and second coming of the Lord Jesus? Well, he says that antichrists have come. What is the antichrist? Well, what are antichrists? Now, in my study upstairs, there are many books who have great and wonderful and weird theories about what's going on here. Some people think that immediately before the Lord Jesus returns, there will be one figure of massive opposition to the Lord Jesus and to his people. They are opposed. That's what the word anti means here. They stand against Jesus. They contrast to Jesus there. They challenge him and his people. And before we get bogged down in trying to work out who or what exactly that is, John tells us, and remember, we've got to keep the main things, the plain things, the plain things, the main things. John says that many antichrists have come. In fact, he says in verse 22 that anyone who denies the Lord Jesus, that he is the Christ, that person is an antichrist. Anyone who has left Jesus behind, who says that Jesus isn't enough, you've got to move on, you've got to have something else, that person is opposed to Jesus, is anti-Jesus, is an antichrist. Now, these antichrists originally went out from the apostles. They looked and sounded like they were Christians, that they were the real deal, but they were not teaching that Jesus is the one, the only one, in whom all our hope depends. And by not teaching that Jesus is the Christ, the one in whom our whole hope depends, they were showing that they were not Christians at all and that they weren't to be listened to. They weren't from the apostles. They weren't teaching and preaching the same message. And John says, we've got to stay, but know that many will leave. We've got to stay knowing that the message we have heard of a Savior dying on a cross to rescue us from our sins, that is the real and true message. But don't be surprised if people think that's not enough. This is a mark that we're living in the time between Jesus' first and second coming. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 24, speaking about that period before he returns, the period we live in, says this: because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Those who stick with Jesus will almost certainly be a minority, but those who stick with Jesus will in the end be saved. As individual Christians, we must never think that I couldn't be deceived. Back in the 1800s, a man called Smith claimed that in America that he'd received a visit from an angel. He said this angel directed him to some gold plates hidden on a hill. Those gold plates were inscribed with hieroglyphics, which only he could read with the help of a pair of specs that the angel gave to him. When translated, the plates revealed that America was discovered not by Christopher Columbus, but by a Jewish prophet 600 years before Jesus was born, and that Jesus himself appeared after his resurrection to the descendants of that family in the USA. You might think it incredible that people believe this, but 15 million Mormons across the world think this is the truth. Church history suggests to us that the biggest problem facing local churches is not the rise of atheism or other religions. The biggest problem that faces local churches and Christians is believing the wrong thing about the Lord Jesus. There's always a danger it could happen to us. And for us to be saved, Jesus and his cross must be our permanent address. It must be where we set up home. And we must never leave it. Because remaining with the apostles and their message is evidence not only that God is at work in our lives, but that in the end we'll be saved. So stay, knowing that many will leave. But stay, knowing what is at stake. Stay knowing what is at stake. Let me read verses 20 to 23. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Now, at first reading, you might think these verses are quite obscure. What is John talking about here? But John is saying to believers in verse 20 that when we came to faith in the Lord Jesus, the Holy One, he gave us his Holy Spirit. Not only were we forgiven of our sins, but this gift of the Holy Spirit was given into our lives. To be anointed in the Bible is to have something poured over you. As we became Christians, the Lord Jesus, as it were, poured over us his Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit confirms to every believer the truth of what John and the other apostles saw and touched and spoke about, that Jesus is the Christ. Why is this such a big deal? Why is this stake so high, as it were? This truth that Jesus is the Christ, why is that so important? Well, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is our all. Jesus is our everything. Jesus is the Christ. He is God's eternal King, the one through whom all of God's promises and plans are fulfilled. He is the one who, through whom we receive all of God's promises. He is the one through whom we receive all of God's undeserved kindness. He is the one who funnels all of God's blessing to us. He's the one who saves us from all our sins. He's the one through whom heaven is always open to us, and we can pray and call on God as our Father. He's the one who is always with his people. He is the one who is always at work for their good. He is the one on whom all my hope for the future depends. And as the Christ, he's the only one who offers me eternal life. All of this is a work of his undeserved kindness, his grace. The reason we need to stick with Jesus is that he's our all. Are you with me? Are you getting this? Jesus is our all. He's got to be our all. He's the only one who offers us all these things. And they're only available through trusting and believing in him. When we say that Jesus is the Christ, when John says Jesus is the Christ, he's saying that Jesus is all that we need. I don't need anyone else. I don't need anything else. I don't need to move on. That is the only safe place to be. You know, people down the years have realized the importance of this. They realized that saying Jesus is our all, we don't need anything else, was so important they were willing to die for it. About 500 years ago, a man called Hugh Latimer was alive. He believed that Jesus was his all. That is what he began to preach. That is what he began to speak to people about. And people came to faith in Jesus. The church authorities at the time, who were Roman Catholic, ordered him to stop. But he couldn't, and he wouldn't. He knew this was a matter of eternal significance, that Jesus had to be people's all. And being unwilling to renounce what he believed, he was put on trial for it. And being unwilling to say, well, I suppose I'll just pipe down, I'll just keep my mouth shut, I'll just try and keep the peace. No, no, no. He would not stop. He was taken from his trial, and he was burned to death because Jesus was his all. And he wanted everyone to know that Jesus was his all. And he wanted everyone to realize that Jesus needs to be our all. Why were they so ardent and entrenched? Why was it such a big deal? Well, look at verse 22. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. If we deny that Jesus is our all, we stand in opposition to him. If we move on from that position, actually what we're saying is not that we have all the things that the Lord Jesus gives to us as a work of his grace. We have nothing. We have neither the Father nor the Son. Neither of them are in us. We don't have a real relationship with God. The stakes are really high that Jesus is our Christ. This might not make me popular, but it's why the Roman Catholics and the Orthodox churches of Eastern Europe are wrong. They don't say that Jesus is all. There's praying to Mary and to saints. They believe that priests have to represent them before God. Jesus is not all. It's why Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons are wrong. They don't believe that Jesus is the eternal Son of God through whom all is dependent on. Jesus is not all. Maybe a bit closer to home, some churches think that charity work and helping people practically is all that they need. There's a danger that Jesus stops being all. Or in some churches, there is a danger that people start pinning their hopes on what the Holy Spirit can do for them rather than what the Lord Jesus does. Jesus is not all. It's why any religion who says that you need to do this to make God happy is wrong. Because Jesus is not all. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you don't consider yourself a believer in the Lord Jesus. Jesus needs to become your all. You need to ask him for the forgiveness of your sins. You need to ask him to forgive your rebellion against God. You need to put all your hope in him. And as you do that, he brings to you eternal life. You escape the judgment and the punishment that you rightly deserve, that I rightly deserve. No one else can save us. No one else can rescue us. No one else can bring us to God. Jesus needs to be our all. Every few years, a Christian book will come out that will become massively popular, mega popular. And often it will have within it the claim to what gives you the success to live the Christian life. If you get a book like that, if someone advertises a book like that to you, the formula found within it is usually, do this and God will be pleased with you. If Jesus is our all, if you've accepted him as your Savior and Lord, then God's already pleased with you. You don't need to move on to other things. You don't. In the north of England, there's a place called Morecambe Bay. Some of you might have been there. I see a few nods around the room. The tide there goes out for miles. And there's a scenic walk where you can walk for 8 miles across the sands. It's beautiful. And as you're there and you think, well, it's a long walk, but it seems okay. But as you walk across the sands, so I'm told, there's lots of unusual river channels and quicksand and stinking mud. And the tide comes in so quickly that down the years, lots of people have died at Morecambe Bay. If you want to be safe at Morecambe Bay, you need to put your trust in a man who is called the Queen's Guide to the Sands. He knows exactly what is happening. He's a man to put your trust in, knowing that as you walk across those 8 miles, you'll be safe. What does the Queen's Guide to the Sands say frequently to those who are walking with him? Stay right by my side. Stay by my side. Don't move on. Don't ignore the advice that I give you. Don't think it's there to spoil your fun. The stakes of moving on from the Queen's Guide to the Sands is too dangerous. And John says to us tonight, stay. Don't move on from Jesus. Don't think you need to put your hope in anything else. To do that is massively dangerous and is of eternal significance. Finally tonight, John will say to us, stay, knowing what keeps you safe. Stay, knowing what keeps you safe. Let me read these last few verses. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. This is verse 24. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Tricia and I really enjoy 10-pin bowling. It's been a wee while since we've done it, but we really enjoy it. Needless to say, I usually win. At the start of the games that we have, there's usually a discussion where Tricia says, can we have the safety barriers up? If you don't know what I mean, if you've never been 10-pin bowling, you've got an alley with pins at the end and two gutters down the side. The safety barriers basically mean that your ball can't go down the gutter. It evens up the better players from the less good players, and that it keeps your ball in the alley and helps you to score and hit the pins. What is the safety barrier that will keep our Christian life on the alley, headed towards the pins? See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. What keeps us safe? With the help of the Lord Jesus, we go to great lengths to stay with the apostles' teaching from the Bible. What did we need to hear when we became Christians? The apostles' clear teaching. What the eyewitnesses saw and heard and spoke about Jesus. What do we need to keep hearing until the day we die or the Lord Jesus returns? The same apostles' teaching. John is saying, Dougie, if you're going to stay faithful, if you're going to not move on, keep reading your Bible. Keep reading your Bible. Do this every day. Keep listening to God's word being preached. Build your life upon it. And with Jesus' help, obey it. Don't move on. That word remain that John uses a few times in these verses is the same word that Jesus uses in John 15. Where Jesus likens himself to a vine. And he says, remain in me. He says there that as we accept Jesus, we come like branches of his vine. And as long as we are attached to him, then we're safe. And who will help us to understand this word, the apostles' teaching? Who will bring light and clarity to them? Who will make these words come alive in our hearts? The Holy Spirit. That anointing we were given when we first believed in the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit, day by day, will help us to understand and apply God's word to our lives. See, there's a deep connection between God's word and God's Spirit. They work together to help us to obey what is true. And when John says in verse 27, you don't need anyone to teach you, he's not saying there, don't listen to your pastors. He's not. It means that with God's word in your hand and God's spirit in your heart, you have what you need to understand the Bible and grow in your faith. Practically, where does this hit home for me? Well, great care is going to be needed in who I listen to. I listen to other people all the time. As I read books and magazines and watch the telly and listen to other preachers, I should not put up with those things that are trying to lead me astray, that are trying to take me away from the Lord Jesus. I'm going to need great wisdom. Now, it's not that I need to be suspicious of everyone and everything, but I need to test what is good. And I need to hold on to that. Only with the help of the Lord Jesus will I stay. How will we finish tonight? Well, let me do that by thinking about that word remain again. Older translations use the word abide. It means to take up a permanent residence. When it comes to Jesus, we don't pitch a tent and then when something better that sounds better to us comes along, we take it all down and we go and pitch a tent over there. When John says remain, stay, he says stay forever. He says, stay building something that will last in that place. Build a castle. They're not easy to tear down and remove. When it comes to God's word, build a castle on it. Build a permanent residence. Stay. Stay knowing that many will leave. Stay knowing what's at stake. Stay knowing what keeps us safe. Don't go. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask for your help tonight to stay with Jesus. We know that many people will leave and move on from him and try to take us with them. Help us to remain. Would Jesus be our all? Would we see that nothing else compares with him? Nothing else gives us the hope that he does. Nothing else forgives our sins and gives us eternal life. Would you help us to stay safe? Would you give us great love for your words and help us to remain in it? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.